Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the return episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick. The Hump will be joining us shortly. just a little backstory. We were originally supposed to have an episode at 11 o'clock. I screwed that up royally. So trying to schedule an episode, we were going to do one at noon. It was not available, so I picked 11:30. For some reason, that was available. Anyway, so the Hump thinks that our episodes are going to be at noon. But unfortunately, I think he may have just ran into the shower, so he should be with us shortly. Anyway, it's been a long time since we've been on the air. Scheduling issues, other issues, kind of gotten in the way, but the last couple of weeks we've been trying to figure out a solid time for us to do this every week. So it looks like we'll be coming back to you every week, every Sunday at 11 a.m. Then going straight through for the foreseeable future. So looks like we've got it all figured out, and we'll even be come Eagle season, we'll even be bringing the Hump to you from the tailgate. So that should certainly be interesting. A lot has obviously happened since we last went on the air. In fact, it's been so long I don't even really remember the last time we were on the air. So I'm going to assume it was a couple months ago during the Eagle season, or maybe even before the Eagle season. So we have a lot to go over as far as Eagles offseason is concerned. But before we get into that, hopefully the Hump will be joining me shortly. If you'd like to call in and be a part of the show, the phone number here is 347-989-0699. So give that number a call. I'll bring you right on in and join the fun. So with that being said, before we get into Eagles talk, because I know how much the Hump has been looking forward to the return to talk about the off season and the draft and all that good stuff, which is, you know, what we talk about on a normal basis anyway, let's go over some of the other stuff. I guess we'll start with our annual Sixers talk, but it's looking like we're going to have to start talking about them a little bit more often, as they're doing a lot better than expected. I think they have they're 8-32, almost halfway through the season, and they're not the worst team in the NBA. In fact, they're the third worst team. The Timberwolves, I believe, it's 7 wins, and the lowly New York Knicks at 5. So it's going to be anybody's race. See who gets that worst record and who gets the most lottery balls there. So that should be interesting. But at least, you know, unlike in New York, you can tell that the Sixers are trying. They're the youngest team in NBA history, and they're trying to put it together. So hopefully, all you can ask for is that we see improvement from, you know, players like MCW and Nerlens Noel, and hopefully Joel Embiid doesn't get so fat anymore. Apparently, he's been tipping the scales at about 300 pounds, which is a pretty big concern considering the injury he had and one of the keys to beating said injury is to maintain your weight. So hopefully he'll be starting some intense rehab soon, and he'll start shedding some of those extra LBs. Moving on to the Flyers. Unfortunately, the Flyers are just a darn mess. Not really sure what's up with them. Not really sure what Hexy is thinking as far as how to fix the situation. You got a couple of decent players, but defense is a mess, and you know, with injuries and you know, they can't seem to get it together. They need a you know, legit scorer to pair on the top line. You know, somebody like Simmons shouldn't. As much as I love Simmons, shouldn't be considered a top line kind of guy. But you know, they need to add some pieces, whether it be trade or through the draft. But they need to get their you know, their stuff figured out. So hopefully hopefully Hexy has a plan. So they're you know, they'll be fighting for a playoff spot, but in the end, they'll probably fall short and miss the playoffs. So hopefully that'll give them a decent draft. Hopefully there'll be some young defender we can draft next year. And then finally, again, before we get into the Eagles talk, unfortunately we got to talk about the Phillies, which is, well, since we last talked, well, they were doing pretty bad then, but now that we've traded Jimmy Rollins and half the team, and although we still haven't figured out how to get rid of Ryan Howard, we just re-upped Ben Revere for, I think, $4 million and Dominic Brown for $2.5 million to avoid arbitration, but it looks like that's going to be your starting outfield there. At least Chase is still here, and I would assume by the start of the season, Cole Hamels will not be, and hopefully some sucker will take Ryan Howard and all of him. So it's going to be a woeful couple of years for the Phillies. Hopefully Ruben won't be a part of all of that, so this way we can move forward and try to move on, try to get rebuild the team. I mean, we obviously have the ability with the payroll, so let's start drafting and you know, getting guys and you know, free agent here and there, you know. So hopefully that happens sooner than later, but it's going to be a couple years for the Phillies. So. Well, I was going to say that's pretty much all I got on the other teams. I'm sure once the hump gets here, you know, I'm sure he'll shed some maybe a little light on there. But I know he really wants to talk about Eagles and kind of the off-season plan, and hopefully. You know, maybe talk a little bit of draft. I know unless you've been living under a rock, everyone is talking about Marcus Mariota or Mariota and how the Eagles can get them, get him. And, well, it's gonna take a ransom to move up that far. But, you know, I think if you're really – committed to you know, getting Mariota and seeing what that quarterback in this system can do in the pros, I think you got to do it. I think as much as I like Nick Foles, you know, he's not the perfect fit quarterback for this system. Never will be. He doesn't have a lot of pocket mobility. Unfortunately, you know, some of the plays have been kind of not dumbed down. I wouldn't, certainly not to say that, but some of the plays have been taken out of the playbook due to the fact that Nick Foles cannot perform them like they need to be. Whereas Mariota will help to open up that playbook, and you know, I mean, we saw how it can be. Briefly, with Michael Vick in here, you know, when he was running around and the offense was was basically almost unstoppable. You know, the only way that we got stopped is we stopped ourselves. So hopefully we do that. We don't have to give up the farm. I'm not in favor of giving up Fletcher Cox or Lane Johnson or Michael Kendricks or Shady, as much as, you know, I think Shady's shelf life is only going to be a few more years. You know, it's pretty important still to have an elite running back. And, you know, I don't want to just give that up. You know, that hurts the offense. You know, if you do that with, you know, Mariota with Shady and everything, you know, with that offense, it could be amazing. So let's not hurt the offense. Let's not hurt the defense with some of the young players that we have. So let's see what we could do to give up some picks and see how far we can get up. Personally, I think we should see how far Nick Foles can get us up in the draft. I'm not saying he's worth a number one pick, but I think Folesy and our number one should certainly be able to move us up a good amount, you know, especially to a team that may need a quarterback. But not a top priority. I would rather spend that on defense or another skill position. That might work. I mean, I've kind of targeted St. Louis at 7, I believe. Now, I'm not saying that Nick Foles and our first should get us St. Louis's first at 7. Yeah, we might have to throw in a second or a third or maybe even both. At least that gets us right there. And then, you know, you never know how things are going to fall out. You know, maybe we, from there, we jump a couple spots just to ensure that we get, Mariota instead of, you know, taking a chance. Because it seems like the Eagles always just kind of, let's see if they'll, you know, drop to us. Or, you know, I think that's what they did last year with Clinton Dix, and it bit them in the butt. Unfortunately, he turns out to have a pretty decent rookie season. So, ten is St. Louis. I'm sorry, not 7. That's my bad. Moving up 10 spots is with Nick Foles for a team that needs a quarterback. If you look at all the teams in front of us, we have the Bills the Bills probably could use a quarterback, but moving up one spot does nothing for us. San Diego, Kansas City, they're pretty good. Houston could probably use one. But again, moving up 4 spots doesn't do too much. I think that would be, you know, Nick Foles and, you know, maybe a second to get to Houston 6. I wouldn't give up our own first. So then there's San Fran, Miami. They're straight. New Orleans and Cleveland, 13 and 12. They're straight. Minnesota, 11. They're good. And then there's St. Louis and Rams at 10, which is the first viable option of moving up, but not all the way. Continue to look. 9 is the Giants, 8 is Atlanta, and 7 is Chicago. Now, maybe Chicago needs a quarterback, depending on what they do with Jay Cutler. Who knows? They could go in many different ways. One second, let me see where the hump is here. I guarantee you, yeah, we had a little miscommunication. I was originally going to schedule it at 12, but unfortunately I was unable to. Had to do it at 11:30. Yeah, so unfortunately Blog Talk kind of screwed us again. But if you'd like to call into the show, please do so at 347-989-0699. That number again is 347-989-0699. So, unfortunately, like I said, Block Talk wouldn't let me schedule at noon, so I had to schedule at 11:30. So the Hump should be joining us any minute. And we'll continue our Eagles talk. I'm sure he'll be happy that I got all the other sports talk out of the way so we can focus on what this show really is about, is the Eagles. as anybody who's listened to the show over the years can tell you, it's pretty much Eagles talk around here, so... But anyway, as I was saying, it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do for quarterback. Moving up, there's the Jets. Now, the Jets technically, they say the Jets need a quarterback. Are they ready to say see you later to Geno Smith? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, huge news. The Hump has joined us. Hello, Hump. How are you?
I'm good, Mick. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. I was just explaining to everyone the typical Blog Talk snafu that has happened.
Yeah.
Not letting me schedule for noon as we had previously talked. So I did 11:30.
Right.
I assumed you jumped in the shower of some sort, or?
Well, no, I had my phone charging in the, and I was in the other room, and I just figured, oh, I come in at like quarter of, grab the phone and call in. You know.
Oh, man. Well, you'll be happy to know I got all of the Sixers, Phillies, and Flyers talk out of the way.
Okay, so we can just talk Eagles. Yeah, the important stuff.
Absolutely. See, I was telling everyone that was what was important. So.
Yeah.
I knew you'd appreciate that. So,
no, I appreciate
but,
it. Get all the grind work out of the way, and I can come in for the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's like somebody working like an 8-hour shift, and you come in the last 15 minutes and take credit for it.
Exactly. That's the perfect way. That's my mindset at work. Yeah, you know, let somebody else do all the hard work, and then I come in right at the end, get my name on the finished product, and I come out looking like a champion.
Yeah, hey, you can't beat that. So, I was just going over, surprisingly, Mariota, and
we haven't heard that anywhere, and we won't hear that for another 4 months.
I said, unless you've been living under a rock, it's pretty much everywhere. But I was trying to explain how we can, facilitate getting this deal done.
Right.
First and foremost, let me ask you, right now, do you say the Eagles should go for it? Should they go and draft and get Mariota?
The quick answer, I guess, would be probably not. Not because I don't think Mariota is good enough, but just because I think the asking price would be so astronomical. Yeah, great, you get a quarterback and you wouldn't have anything else. And you would then, it's not like he's going to be able to, it's not going to be a plug and play like some people suggest. This offense is still different than what he was running at Oregon.
Sure.
Not that
sure.
much different, but he'd be the best fit. And I would understand if this team was, say a 6-10 team. And you're not quite good enough to get up, or not quite bad enough to get up to the top of the draft, but certainly not good enough either to compete for a playoff spot. I would say, yeah, you make all the efforts, you go get your franchise quarterback. But the thing is, this team's so much in limbo as far as what they are. And it all stems really from the play at the quarterback position. And so that's why, I mean, I would gauge the interest because a team like Tampa, if you could, I mean, I would say, first rounder obviously this year, first rounder obviously next year.
Sure.
And probably a player, either a Kendricks, Fletcher Cox, or Lane Johnson. one of those three, it's probably about, you know, I guess that's right. So I
literally just said I'm all in favor of doing a deal. I just don't want to give up Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks, or Lane Johnson.
Well, those are the three players you'd, I mean, you know, they're not going to make the deal for, I don't know, for Kerry Williams.
Obviously. But my mindset more is let's see what pick's going to get us. Now, I'm also in the mindset, too, of let's see how far down we can get with Nick Foles and our pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Nick Foles and a pick to St. Louis at 10.
Well, I think this is one of those things where you kind of have to gauge it on draft day. Like
sure.
If
the Bucs were
to decide to go with Jameis Winston, you call up Tennessee and say, look, Tennessee, first to second, and you guys still need a quarterback situation. First, a second, first next year, Nick Foles.
Yeah, but they basically have a Nick Foles in Mettenberger, just – you know, that
well,
is
I mean,
good.
You ask them,
unless you can sell them on, hey, this guy was a Pro Bowler.
27-2.
That could be
which I think everybody, hell, I was sick 10 months ago hearing about the 27-2, but.
Sure.
I think we all knew that wasn't going to happen. 13-10 this year. I don't think anybody saw that kind of drop off. If you could at least convince a team that, yeah, he's not 27-2 good, but he's not 13-10 bad either. He's somewhere in the middle. He's
And 13-10 bad is still better than Eli bad. So but I just feel like if we can give our first up with Nick Foles, and get up to, say, St. Louis at 10. Then say, say Mariota drops a little and slides to,
maybe the Jets.
It's pick 5. And, you're sitting here saying, all right, well, Jets probably need a quarterback if they truly decided to go away from, Geno Smith. Let's trade number 5. Let's drop down 5 spots and see what that can get us. We're not going all the way up to 1 or number 2. I still think Mariota will drop out of the top 2. But again, there's a long road for that. But anyway,
I think that's going to be something that we'll look at more closely as we get closer to the draft.
Absolutely. But moving up from, say, 10 to 5, isn't going to be hard at all, and it's certainly not much of a kick in the crotch. All you've given up to get to 10 is basically Nick Foles. You swapped your pick and given up Nick Foles. So saying, all right, we'll give you, this year's second, next year's first, and next year's second, and we'll pop up to 5, and then we'll draft Mariota. I think that much could get you from 10 to 5, is 2 firsts and 2 seconds.
The only thing that worries me about that is because in this deal you've already given up, Nick Foles. Everybody knows at that point what you're doing. Like moving up, to 10
well,
and then
obviously
saying, well,
you would have a soft deal in place with number 5 or whoever.
Yeah, I would think you'd have to say, you have your deal worked out with 10 with St. Louis. And then who is 5? Isn't it Washington?
I think it's Washington. So that might be a little more difficult.
Yeah,
but
that might be a little hairy. I mean, we might have to move up to 4 instead of 5.
But that's Oakland, so that might actually be easier.
Yeah.
But point being is obviously they can figure out the logistics of who's what and this, that, and the other.
And especially a team like an Oakland, because also remember, like, if they want to sweeten the deal, maybe even, like, I mean, it wouldn't be a backbreaker, but on either side, but, you know, you have an extra fourth round pick. Maybe you just say, like, you know, if they're wavering after you've made that first, they say, well, we'll also throw in a fourth round pick, whichever one's the better pick. We can say, look, that's yours.
Yeah.
In the deal.
Right.
And maybe,
no,
you know, absolutely. You have that extra chip, no pun intended, to,
yeah,
to
right.
throw in there.
No, absolutely. I think that's the best way to do about it, in my opinion, is to break down the move up into two separate trades. Now, obviously they're the ones who do this for a living, and obviously they know how to kind of work it so they don't get screwed in this whole thing.
And look, I mean, right now, what we're going to be doing for the next couple of months is this
speculation.
I'm sure these
guys
have already had this discussion. If, you know, hypothetically, if their move would be to try and get up to get Mariota, what is it going to entail? And I'm sure they had several in-depth conversations. I mean, in fact, this is the first one you and I had over this, and we've already got it worked out. So I imagine,
right.
you know, they've got
We got this.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Let's just tell them.
Chip,
let's just tell them we're good.
And
hey, Chip, we got this, dude.
Yeah.
We're good.
And Hallie, go get us some Gatorade or something while you're at it. It's like, isn't that his new thing? Now he gets the Gatorade for the guys.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that part of his new title?
Yeah. And I figure out the numbers. Blah blah blah.
I love how they throw in the in charge of equipment and the medical staff.
Hey, somebody's
like,
got me in charge of them, right?
Yeah, sure, but like when they were coming out with that press release, if they had stopped that, we'll be in charge of salary cap. Like, it's more saving face. It was like they threw in that other stuff. This is like another jab at them. You know, in charge of the medical team and the...
And also,
And this is and other details. So like,
yeah.
I think he's in charge of the halftime show. Maybe he's in charge of getting the pom poms to the cheerleaders. I don't know.
Hey, I'd love that job.
Absolutely. But when you're going from a GM to that job, kind of a step down.
Depending on how lonely you are.
Well, I have no idea how lonely.
If you're super lonely, that's a win.
Or if you're a big-time creeper, you know.
Or that, yes.
Yeah.
But we only got a few minutes left. If you want to get up on in the show, take the call. We're just kind of sitting here BSing with each other. We'd love to talk to you. So call-in number is 347. And, of course, my screen just went blank, and I can't pop it up real quick. 347-989-0699. So we got about a minute and a half left of live air talking. Then we'll go into a short 15-minute podcast. So make sure you look us up. You can find us on iTunes. Yes, the iTunes. You can download all of our shows, all of our previous shows. You can also find us on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, on our Facebook page, The Philly Mick and Hump Show on Facebook. We're also all over Twitter at @the_Philly_Mick and @the_Philly_Hump. So check us out there. If you'd like to email the show, I believe the email address is thephillymickandhumpshow@gmail.com, but I could be wrong. and,
just try it out. If you don't get a return to send us anything, you got it right.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be coming at you every Sunday from now to the foreseeable future at 11 o'clock, not 11:30, 11 o'clock, and we will be coming to you live. During the season, we'll have our tailgate extraordinaire, the Philly Hump, at the games. But we want to thank everyone for the return, for listening in. So for the Philly Mick,
on the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening to Philadelphia. See you in the podcast. All right, we are unlive.
And unplugged.
Yeah, and unplugged, and I want to punch Blog Talk.
Seriously?
I have no idea why 12 o'clock was not available, but
yeah, that's weird.
11:30, 12:30, 1, 1:30, like every other possible time slot was available except for noon.
Except for the one that we wanted.
Yeah, maybe everybody and their mom has podcast on at noon on Sundays. So
maybe.
Yeah, but
well, then maybe we got the fine spot. If you're with everybody else, you're looking to get on Blog Talk at 12. Maybe they'll come in a little earlier at 11. They'll listen to us for a half hour, then the 45-minute, then the 15-minute podcast, and go
sure.
right into their 12 o'clock show.
Yeah, exactly. They're wonderful show.
But hey, if those people call in, we'll pull up their show.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? We are absolute plug whores. I will plug anything. Even if I don't believe in it, I'll plug it in.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
care. Yeah, I mean, hey, you want to talk about abortions? Sure.
Whatever. Come on.
I'll plug it.
Or isn't that part of the problem? The plugging? Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was inappropriate. Oh, man.
Anyway, let's see if we can not get too derailed in the next, it only took, a minute into the podcast?
Yeah, right. That seems to happen. Podcasts happen, all hell breaks loose, but anyway.
That's just a little preview of what you can expect every Sunday, folks.
Yeah, nothing but disorganized awfulness.
Pure insanity.
Yeah. So let's get back to Eagles offseason, non-draft specific. And say if you can sign two players, just two.
Okay.
Who are you signing? And why?
The number one guy I would put on that list is Maxwell from Seattle.
Okay.
We're going to need to replace corners. The second guy's probably going to be a corner as well, but either a corner or a safety. And I forget the safeties that are available. Maxwell would be the number one guy I'd want on that list. And I know there's a lot of corners and safeties that are going to be available.
Sure.
They're going to have to do something about the secondary. I don't think obviously Bradley Fletcher's not going to be back. Most likely Kerry Williams won't be back.
Well, see, that's the thing. I fully believe will be back because I feel like his cap hit is going to be too much for us just to release him. So he should be back in all intents and purposes, unless they really hate the man and are willing to take that much of a hit. Fletcher and Nate Allen are free agents. God, are out of here. Now, what wouldn't be the worst situation in the world is if we had to sign Nate Allen to a one-year deal because we could get nobody else.
Right.
And hopefully we sign Nate Allen as a backup, if anything. So that would be my ideal is to, if we're ever going to sign him, let's sign him to a one-year deal, let's have him as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, that would be ideal. And again, I don't have a list in front of me of free agent safeties.
Raheem Moore from Denver is one I kind of been targeting. Devin McCourty from New England.
And since they just signed our old boy Patrick Chung, maybe they can't afford to re-sign McCourty. Of course, the other guy if you're not going to sign Maxwell, the one corner I would love to see us go get, which I don't think we're really going to have a shot at, is Darrell Revis.
Well, I feel like he's too expensive.
Yeah.
No, he's a great player. I would love nothing more.
But I think you can
more.
Afford it because you're not going to be, you know, you're so far into the cap and there are going to be some guys that you're probably going to let go. You know, guys like the Riley
James
Cooper
Casey.
Are probably going to be gone. James Casey, you're going to let walk.
See, unfortunately, Riley Cooper, that's going to be another pretty big cap hit.
But, well, then I guess between Terry Williams and Riley Cooper, you can only really, if you want to release them, one of them, you can only release one. You can't release them both.
No, that's for darn sure. I will say, you know, somebody like James Casey, let's be honest.
Agent.
Well, no, he's still signed.
Is
he? Yeah, he's got another year.
He really doesn't
he's got
have
another
a
year
he's
at $4 million.
Oh, yeah, but that's not guaranteed, so they can afford
to. Yeah, no, exactly. There's zero hit on that. So get him out the door. Like, hey, you're a great player and all, but you're not $4 million
TMI.
Great player.
Yeah.
And you're used, like, 5% of the plays, so.
Yeah,
no
you're used twice a year, buddy. Like, you know. Like I think he's the third tight end who, when you have four tight ends on the roster with Trey Burton, and let's be honest, on special teams, Trey Burton played a hell of a lot better than James Casey.
Yeah. So there's that aspect. There's also the fact that we should probably restructure deals with Trent Cole, with D'Amico Ryans. They're all making way too much money. Todd Herrmann's might be, you know, could be released. His cat, he doesn't really have that bad of a cap hit at all. So,
right now
I think we're about
spots where you need players, and then that worries me about just opening up too many holes.
True. I mean, obviously, I think if you're committed to going all in on Mariota, yeah. Maybe you're not going to release Todd Herrmann. Maybe you'll give him another year and see.
Because remember, you're going to have to give Mariota a healthy contract, but it's not going to be like what your old rookie contracts is.
Well,
that used to be the big reason why.
Thankfully, the rookie wage scale is here to help us out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely
and
making it easier.
Also, what's attractive about Nick Foles is the fact that he's making $600,000 this year. Or this upcoming
and he's
year.
Not going to want to make a new deal right now because he wants to max out his potential. He has a good year this year. He gets a big contract. If he doesn't, then there's no long-term commitment there either by team if they were to make a deal for Nick Foles. You bring him in, and if he's as good as you think he could be, you know, it's got to be a team that I think has a coach in place that they know this is the coach they want to keep for a while, not just a coach that you say, well, if it doesn't work this year, he's out of here. And then because you want to bring in a guy who, you know, he's comfortable in his spot and knows he can take a chance on Nick Foles and know if this doesn't work, he can still go get his quarterback then.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you just, again, described St. Louis.
Exactly, because Jeff Fisher isn't going
Jeff
anywhere.
Jeff Fisher's,
the they're going to
be,
there.
They're going to be there for a while. They got a great defense. They just need to put together a decent offense. They have some talented offensive players. Their offensive line's pretty decent. You know, they got a couple.
Everything else about that team is good except for the quarterback position.
Pretty much.
And if they were to say, okay, Nick Foles, he's a guy, he's been in the league a little while, so we know you're not going to get the rookie mistakes with Nick Foles.
Sure.
I think this would be a perfect landing spot for Nick Foles.
Yeah. So have him go in there. And say, hey, we don't need you to be a superstar. We just need you to manage the game properly and don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles has shown that he knows
like
how to not make mistakes.
It's kind of like the old Buddy Ryan system with playing offense. You know, just don't kill us, make three big plays a game, and we win.
Pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think St. Louis is setting up for a good landing spot for Nick Foles if we go that route.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, me and you have had this conversation, just substitute different parts,
sure.
Pretty much every season for the last 30 years. And how many times have we made a humongous splash?
I'd
not
say
too
the
often.
Biggest splash would be, that's the biggest splash.
Yes. I mean, who have they ever really traded up that far up to go get? That was anyway halfway decent.
That's the biggest move.
What was that?
I guess Brandon Graham does not count as that big move. Even though we thought they were trading up to get Earl Thomas.
No, yeah, we were literally trying to order our Earl Thomas jerseys.
we were on the computers. We were on the air, and I remember going into the other room onto the computer and pulling off eBay and wondering, or pulling up some kind of chat to ask someone when Earl Thomas Eagles jerseys would be available.
Now that would have been a nice big splash. And obviously it's proven that Earl Thomas is the player we thought he was. And
we all knew he was.
Yeah, so.
See, every now and then the Phillies fans get it right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Ricky Williams instead of Donovan McNabb in my face, I always say Earl Thomas instead of Brandon Graham. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty bad one.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, Brandon Graham wasn't such a horrendous player.
Well, it looked horrendous for a while, but then, I mean, I really think a lot of people were saying that maybe the 4-3 defense was the better defense. Well, I think the 3-4 defense is perfect for Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
I think he's an excellent fit as that edge rusher.
No, absolutely, and I would love to see if we could re-sign him and, you know, bring him into the fold.
Unfortunately, I think that probably means Trent Cole is gone. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, who are you going to rather have, an aging Trent Cole?
Youngish
Brandon Graham? And, you know, for the same dollar amount, I'll take Brandon Graham.
Oh, sure. And, I mean, and you know me, I've been a huge Trent Cole fan. Have an authentic Trent Cole jersey. But, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the smarter move, to re-sign Brandon Graham and let Trent Cole go after all these years. I mean, I feel like he was a great player for us, you know, had a great history. I'll always look at him fondly, but at the end of the day, it's a football decision, and you've got to make the right one. It can't be emotionally based.
Yeah, this isn't like, this isn't like us getting rid of Dawkins, you know.
No, nowhere near that caliber.
Right. So, you know, let's not pretend like this is, you know, a huge move and we're you know, setting a franchise back. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but, again, he is what he is.
Oh, sure.
So.
I'd compare him more to, like, the level of disappointment I felt when William Thomas left the Eagles back in, like, was that 97, 96?
Somewhere
yeah, I was disappointed,
there, yeah.
But yeah, I was disappointed, but you know, life goes on. Whereas
opposed to
Brian Dawkins, you know, letting him leave, that had me near ready to disown the Eagles as my team level upset.
That's funny. Yeah, understandable. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, over the next few weeks we'll and months, I'm sure, we'll be discussing more about Mariota. Next week, I'm sure we'll want to get into some different directions, maybe play a little game of keep him, cut him, upgrade him.
Yeah, we definitely can do that. I'm sure we'll dissect the roster fully maybe even get a little Sixers or Flyers or Phillies talk when –
Phillies. I definitely want to discuss, of course, since we've been on off the air, Jimmy Rollins' trade, and
sure.
maybe some of
yeah,
what the rebuilding plan should look like for the Phillies, since they've now acknowledged it only 2 years after it should have started.
Yeah, right. That's funny. But looks like we only have under a minute at some point, so I say we get out of here before Blog Talk cuts us off like they usually do. We want to thank everybody for listening in, downloading the shows, calling us in over the years. Make sure 11 o'clock every Sunday, join us. We'll be talking Philly sports. You can reach us on iTunes, download the show. You can go right to Blog Talk Radio, type in the Philly Nick and Hump Show.